Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco.
Wait, let me take a bite of my sandwich.
Bread.
Do you have bread envy?
I do. Well, no, I had pancakes this morning. I made bomb ass pancakes that are like protein pancakes, but I have to choose my carbs wisely because I only get a certain amount per day right now, and probably less and less as I get closer. So I stay in the moment. People are like, what happens next week? I'm like, I don't know. I'm staying in the moment and eating what carbs I get.
But if it makes you feel any better, I don't do a whole lot of carbs. I don't do a whole lot. These will be my carbs for the day. So there
yeah.
you
go. I mean, I honestly don't feel yesterday, my regional manager called me and he was like, oh, you don't sound as angry and stressed as I thought. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, aren't you starving? I'm like, no, I eat a lot. I just don't eat a lot of what I really would like to, like ribeye, steak, and cookies.
All right. So, yeah, welcome to another rogue episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About brought from my new fancy schmancy studio.
You're so fancy now, and I'm so fit. It's crazy.
I'm fancy, you're fit. The Fancy Fit Show.
We balance one another.
We do. I can't wait for you to come here, and we can do it here in the studio.
Sweet.
I know.
Again.
Mm-hmm. My lighting is mysterious today by design, because I've been under the heavy lights this morning when it gets hot.
Hot,
it's
yeah.
It's getting hot in here.
I'm so hot.
Take your clothes off. Something like that.
I am getting so hot. I'm going to take my clothes off. That's on my workout playlist.
So anywho, the last episode we talked about the business of bikinis. Contests. And then we mentioned maybe we should talk about prospecting, because I recently had a little bit of a not career change, company change. And last year you did the same thing, a little bit of a slightly different industry change, sort of, but related. And I thought that was kind of interesting because I feel like in some ways I'm Rachel Jr. this year. Minus the bikini contest, but I have started working out with a boxer.
There you go.
So there's that.
It's a long and hard route to bikini. So you got to really sink your teeth into that first, but
yeah, no,
but hey,
no,
yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah. So I made the shift from selling real estate for 10 years over to the other side, the mortgage side. And I think we discussed this in a different episode, maybe the one where we talked about mortgages, that I was recruited by my branch manager, who is a very young genius, Mike Fitzpatrick. And he just knew me. He'd been actually nurturing our relationship for several years because he wanted my realtor business. And then he honored me by saying, you know, when he wanted to add his first female to his office, because he noted that the top 14 out of 15 top sales achievers in U.S. mortgage were females. He said I was the first call, and I thought that was really cool. And so I shifted over. And one of the main benefits that I had from shifting to mortgage from real estate is that the main group of people that we market to in mortgage is the realtors, because the realtors bring in the buyers. The buyers always come in hot and they haven't talked to a lender and they're ready to make an offer on the house. So the relationships with the realtors are very important. And when I made the shift, I had this list. Like, I still do have my real estate license. So I went in and downloaded the entire list of all 4,500 realtors that are registered with our local MLS. And I just started calling people. And that's the name of the game. Is I think the real thing about prospecting that I have learned is that you know, as long as you're in your basic, the general population that you want to reach out to, maybe your warm market, maybe your cold calling, is you just got to get on the phone. Like, I would just call up realtors. I started with the people that I know that would answer the phone and go, "Hey, Rachel, what's up?" And then I just basically, first I would ask them about themselves. That's number one. Ask them about themselves, let them talk. And then I would be sure wherever, whatever direction that the conversation went, that I would at least finish with, "Hey, I moved over to the mortgage side. I'd love to help you. Just wanted to let you know that that's what I've done." Now I honed it in a little more, especially for the realtors that I didn't know personally. And I would ask them, like, "Who do you use right now? What do they do great?" Because I don't want to disparage anybody, but I said, "What is it that you love about them?" And just get them talking. And then people would give me a chance. And I solidly did that for like 5 or 6 months. And I started trickling business in. And then by the time COVID hit, I just was slammed with business from people. I just figured out that just calling people. And throughout, now I need to get back to more prospecting. I've been so busy, I haven't been prospecting well, but I started last week once we had this conversation. Like, I need to be prospecting more. And it really is as simple as touching on people. "Hey, you just crossed my mind. How are you doing?" You don't know. I mean, I don't sell to them. I just check in with them. And then lo and behold, they call me back and they need something. So that's my 2 cents on prospecting so far.
So far, we've got 28 more minutes to go. Well, I think it's interesting. We'll talk about why we should be, what are the goals of prospecting? But I think it's interesting you changing over from real estate to mortgage, right? So there is that warm list that you're dealing with. And then me switching over from, I mean, I didn't really change industries. I changed companies. So it's a little bit different. But the cool thing has been from the, I guess I'll say the low-hanging fruit, is going back out to my existing database that, whether it was clients or prospects, that kind of just revisiting them, you know, especially prospects that hadn't bought before because improv kind of scared them. And so now I have a whole other bag of offerings, right? So we don't just have this improv-based training, but now we have all of these other types of training that are all sales related, but someone else's material that I'm excited to represent. And it opens a different set of doors.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to go back out to that same list that maybe they didn't buy what I was selling before, but now the new offerings get them excited. I did a presentation yesterday to the American Marketing Association Coastal Carolina chapter. So it's students mainly. And the person who had asked me to do it, she's like, "I had no idea you joined Sales Gravy. And I just saw that. I just saw you post about it. And I make all my students listen to Sales Gravy podcasts." Like, who knew?
It's because he knows his shit.
Because that's a cool, yeah. He being Jeb Blunt, my new boss, very exciting. I don't think I can call him a business crush anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's inappropriate now. It's like a PR issue.
Really, be inappropriate.
So. we wooed him. We dragged him in. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, when I speak to new real estate agents, and there's a lot of people who have gotten into real estate lately, people that I know, because they maybe lost their job due to COVID, they see all the realtors killing it, and so they're like, "I can do that." It's not as easy as it seems, but it can be if you leverage your current list. Now, the list, the dun 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 list. Now, Gina and I both have pretty extensive lists, and you may be thinking that you don't have a list, but you do have a list if you have a smartphone. So if you don't know who you should be calling, then you should be calling every person in your phone. And this is what I tell new agents. When they get into real estate, I say, they're like, "What should I do that won't cost me a lot?" I'm like, "I got the perfect thing that'll bring you tons of business, won't cost you a thing." They're like, "Yes, drool, drool." I'm like, just start with the very first contact in your phone and call every single person and just call them and say, hey, so-and-so, I was just thinking about you. How are you doing? And just let them talk. Let them talk. And the same deal. Let the conversation go where it needs to go. Kind of try to not let it go forever unless somebody you really like talking to. But then make sure that at the end of the conversation, at the very least, that you tell them what you're doing and offer them what you can do for them. And even easier so that, especially in when it comes to real estate, you don't have to say, hey, if you decide you want to buy a house, but you can say, hey, if you run into anybody who is thinking about buying or selling, please do me the honor of sending them my way. And no matter what industry that you're in, you can do that. If you open a cupcake shop, a little bit obsessed with like cookies and cupcakes right now. If you, I seriously, look at cookie sites like it's porn. It's like so sick. They have this these sites on Instagram where they have these huge cookies. They like cut them in half and then open them up so you see the oozy bit dripping out. I'm like, so good.
They're not good. To your point on that, even going more direct, instead of saying if you know, it's actually getting more direct. I mean, I love this strategy of who do you know?
Yeah, good.
Who do you know that is looking for a house? Because it actually forces them to think about it. Versus it's kind of like a throw off of like, if you know anybody, keep me
You're
in mind.
So right.
Versus, thank you, Jeb Blunt, the things I learned from Jeb, in fanatical prospecting, which by the way, I'm teaching in November. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. If you don't have that book, you should, where should they get the book, Gina?
They could go to salesgravy.com and it has all the things.
There you go. And pick up that book. It's such a great read. And then do the course after you read the book. Do the course with Gina.
Yeah. And if you can't do the course with me, you can do the course with someone else because Sales Gravy University, that's like a high demand class. So there's a boot camp coming up in November. But, you know, going back to saying, who do you know? Who do you know that needs this? And that will really, you know, that gets them to want to reciprocate too. Like if you've helped them, then they're thinking about, okay, who else do I know that I can send her way? And they might think of someone on the spot. A lot of times people are like, oh, you know, yep. Once you ask them to think and they actually think in that moment versus getting back to them.
Mm-hmm. They might just come up with, and all you need is one name from each person. Like,
yeah.
Hey, yeah. You know what? My mom is in the market for buying X.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Rachel, who do you know?
I actually
in real estate that needs some prospecting help.
I need to connect you actually with my regional manager who has been trying to get Jeb for some training.
And if you can't afford Jeb, I'm the next best thing.
That's exactly right. Because you're teaching the same stuff he would. So,
I mean, you should get Jeb, but I think I'm a little bit less expensive.
Right. There you go. See, as easy as that.
See that? Look at that. I already got a referral.
There you go. And another thing that really worked for me was when I started in mortgage. Was I would actually put time blocks in my calendar for prospecting because I am one of those type of people that will procrastinate prospecting because there's a handful of no when it comes to prospecting, right? There's objections, there's rejection. And sometimes I'm not really in the mood for that, but I'm such a time management junkie that if I have it on my schedule, we'll stop what I'm doing and do it. Cause I'll also admittedly like get busy with some busy work that I just don't have time.
Well, it's so easy to do that.
You know, let me rearrange my pens. Oh, let me color. Let me put different.
I need the office to be more organized before I make a phone call.
That's
well,
right.
You know, what's interesting about that is I think people overthink, they're prospecting. And of course, getting on the phone is always going to, I think, be the most effective. There's a variety of things that you could be doing, you know, video prospecting is pretty hot right now and sending people videos, getting them to look at that, but picking up the phone, but allocating time to do that. How much time, like, because I know you're like a calendar nut because I have access to your calendar. Sometimes it scares me. But how much time do you allocate in a sitting for prospecting?
Usually an hour or 2 hours.
Are you making calls that entire time, or yes, are you doing a variety of touches?
Calls. When I have a prospecting block, it's calls. Mm-hmm. And I try to also not enter information into my CRM at that time. I just take notes on a pad of paper because I can also get sucked into the, oh, let me organize these groups in my CRM. Oh, these, I need to delete this person. Oh, let me just go through and delete all the people that need deleted. Oh, look over here. Oh, there's Facebook. Like it's, you know, I can't do it. I have to have a piece of paper in front of me. And,
I'm the same way. I was hot and heavy on that last week. Not as much this week. Don't tell my boss. It's just a lot of stuff I'm trying to absorb at the same time. But yeah. I found myself falling into the same rabbit hole with HubSpot, which is the CRM we use. Yeah. What are you guys using?
We use Surefire.
Okay. I was getting sucked in.
Yeah.
Into it.
Oh, because there's features, and I spent a good deal of time studying our CRM in the beginning because there's a lot of cool features that, but you can also go down a serious rabbit hole of the CRM, and that should be like weekend work, honestly.
Yeah.
Or off hour work of like playing around with CRM, but just
not schedule time. Not in the golden hours where you should be.
Yeah. And in real estate, when I was doing real estate, and the same with mortgage, my blocks would be like 9 to 11, 3 to 5, or even 5 to 7. There's after work hours. Not necessarily middle of the day. Sometimes I would do middle of the day. I played around with it, and you'll find what is most effective. What I did find is most of the time that the 9 to 11, I'd catch people sort of trying to get their shit together for the day, and it wasn't the most effective time.
Yeah, I think it's going to differ also on your industry.
Yeah.
Of the when's the best time to get people, either disrupt them or get them when their guard's down. Kind of like getting them when their guard's down versus disrupting. Now, it's also like I've had a really great hook, you know, and I sent out an email to a lot of people last week about me moving over to Sales Gravy. And I always love those hook opportunities because, of course, I got a bunch of emails back. And one of them was actually one came back from one of our followers of our podcast. And she's a big Gittimer fan as well as a Sales Gravy fan. And she's like so excited. And she's like, you know, I'm thinking about pitching you to our company to do some sales training. I was like, yes. Right. So it was like a way to open the door. Right. One of our objectives for prospecting, obviously, is to set appointments. Right. But if you have some like people that you already know really well and you could just build more familiarity with what you're doing, right? Like, okay, mm-hmm. So I just want to kind of update you on I've changed over to this company and can I set a time to talk to you? You know, what's good, you know, here are 2 days next week that are good for me. Which one is good for you? And I can catch you up on what's going on and what we can now offer that's bigger and better.
Yeah, that's one key to the next steps in prospecting that I've found is you can't leave it open like, hey, do you want to have lunch sometime? Now you have to say, are you available for lunch on Wednesday or Friday at noon? Like that way people can decide. And that way it feels a little bit more real rather than like, sure. Yeah.
I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're doing that on purpose because they want to nicely get rid of you. And that's cool.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But I think this goes hand in hand with the time management thing. And if you're really effective and efficient with your calendar, like now I'm not there yet. I think I told you this the other day. I should be there by November, but because of my onboarding into Sales Gravy, kind of like getting pivot 10 stuff well, getting all the Pivot 10 stuff out of my world right now as I phase in and out. I guess I'm stressed that I don't fully own my calendar right now because I do have this dream of really organizing that calendar in a way of like, on this day, I do these things at these times, and then having a routine so that I know that on these days I can do lunch, or on these days I take calls, or on these days, like, am I crazy? Is it a dream?
No, you can absolutely do that. There's no reason why you can't. And funny you should say that, because I have an unfinished baby offer ebook that I've been putting together on this exact issue of how to find. And it is related to finding time for fitness, because that's the number one objection for people with trying to get in shape. They're like, I just don't have time, the kids and the work and the blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is you do have time. I'm very fucking busy, and I have a 2.5 hour workout every day, but that's only because I get up so early, but I make time for it. So the way that I talk about finding time is to pull out a calendar, and I love the Passion Planner. It's my fave. And just take out your calendar and put in the things that have to be there, like your seminars that are booked, your appointments, your workouts with your boxing trainer, your prospecting times, the things that have to get done and you cannot miss. Put those all in first. And then you'll start to see the availability of your time. And put everything in there. Put in your commute to work if you have to commute. Put in the hours that you normally sleep. What time do you get up? Like, those things are important because it has bearing on how you're going to organize your schedule. And you'll see there's blocks of time in there where you're like, what do I do? I usually like sit in front of Netflix and veg out. So then you have to make that choice. Is sitting in front of Netflix and vegging out getting you where you want to be? Or can you take that time slot and do something with it that you want to do? So when you really see it on paper and you can see the blocks of time and how it's really being used, you'll see there's time there. And then you can plug in. That's how I used to do it with my prospecting. It's like, plug in. This is when I do calls. This is when I do this. This is when I do that. And when you, there's a certain thing that happens mentally when I look at my calendar and see these time blocks. I'm like, I literally will stop one activity and do the other when it says stop doing this, do this. Because the thing about it is you're like, oh, but I'm not quite done with this. And I just went, well, a wise sage once told me that when you die, your email will still be full of email. So just put it to the side. Put it to the side. It will still be there in a minute. People can wait for a second in today's technology age where they want the instant answer. They can wait like an hour while you do your other activity. It's actually a mental management moment for you of, am I capable of making my own priorities the main priority rather than what everybody else needs?
Hey, Warners, if you haven't had a chance to give us a rating and review, pop over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and you can leave us a rating or review there. Of course, we like 5 stars, but we're not going to beg for that. I mean, a review is probably cooler than a rating anyway, right? So pop over to do that, and now back to the show.
Priority is the word, right? It's prioritizing. Mm-hmm. Of where you should be spending your time. And you and I talked about this the other day. It's like some things just have end up coming off the plate of like,
that's right.
I'm not coming to, like, I was answering some emails this morning that were from last week because I knew that they weren't high priority. And I know that they were high priority for someone else, but they weren't high priority for me. And I think that's another big one. I think sometimes we, especially as women, we feel like this need to take care of everybody's needs. And like, oh, I got to answer that email because she's waiting for an answer. But I know that email is going to send me down a rabbit hole of things. And I'm like, I'm not going to even open it. It'll sit there. And there was an email that sat there for a week because I know she writes really long emails, and that actually confuses my mind because I have to read it like 5 times to process it. And then there's like some kind of action I need to do because of the email. And I'm like, I'm not even going to go there. It's going to just send me down this rabbit hole. So, My process is like the list. What's the list? Where are the highest priorities? Right now, I'm juggling between prospecting and preparing to teach a bunch of sales gravy courses, getting onboarded through that. And I think I mentioned this the other day. I mean, my mom's on hospice right now. So that is a little bit of a thing. A little bit of a thing.
That's the hyperbole of the day.
You know, so managing all the things, personal and professional, I think this is where calendaring gets really important. And going back to the CRM thing, like I literally, that's what I did. I just had paper out and I took notes because I always take a lot of notes because I can't remember everything. And then I put it in the CRM, especially the notes, because I want to make sure that I'm on, which just reminded me, I have to get a proposal to someone. Yeah. See?
Make a note of it. Write it down. You have a piece of paper? So while she writes that note for herself, I'm going to talk for a second about consistency. So consistency is a big deal with prospecting because I found that, especially in relation to what I talked about earlier with changing industries, basically, I got better at it as I went along. I got a little bit less concerned with someone's objections or rejections, and my pitch got better, and I just got better at it, and I started to get kind of into a groove of it. So if you're not prospecting currently or effectively, then it's consistency. It is just like fitness. Like it's not going to suddenly, 1 hour of prospecting is not going to change the face of your business, but consistently 1 hour every day for a month will have a profound effect on your business because you'll get better at whatever it is that you're selling, however you're presenting yourself. And by the time you do it for a month, you're bound to have made some sales, like for sure. There's no way not.
It's a numbers game.
Yep.
The numbers game. And are you tracking them? Something really cool that I've witnessed a couple times now is in our fanatical military prospecting, which is the military version of fanatical prospecting that Sales Gravy does. And this is usually with recruiters, military recruiters who are in essence salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're people are like recruiter. Like, how are they? Well, they're selling the military to people to enlist. Right. And so a lot of these recruiters, they didn't sign up to be salespeople. That was the duty they were given. Right. So, you know, a lot of people in sales jobs, like they apply for the sales job, right?
Or they were born for sales.
Or they're born for sales, right? So they're getting these skills on how to recruit. And what's really interesting in that training, and I work with two really awesome guys who used to, one used to be a military recruiter, James Beatty, and Ricky. So James and Ricky, they lead that training, and they put all these recruiters on call blocks. Like, so it's like, and they kind of ambush them at the beginning of training. Like they do a couple, you know, here's a little bit of content, here's what's going to happen. And then it's like, all right, you were told to bring your list with you. You have 15 minutes. You have to make calls for the next 15 minutes. And the objective of prospecting is to set an appointment, right? So it becomes this numbers game, and it happens several times during the day through the training. Okay, it's time for another call block. And, you know, I'm not totally versed on military and like the different divisions and, I wish James was here. I've been thinking about bringing him on the show. He would crucify me on this. Anyway, so they're all companies. They're called companies, right? So you have all these companies within. And so they're all kind of competing against, like, who made the most calls? Who set the most appointments? Right? And so at the end of the day, you see all the numbers. And then it's math, right? It's math. Well, if we know that 10% of those 10% of those appointments are going to turn into enlistments, right? So it becomes this numbers game, but they've been really successful with it because sometimes what happens in that training, more appointments and calls are being made in those four 15-minute blocks than like a whole week or a whole month. Or, you know, there's different statistics around that because it was intentional and it was focused and it was, they were forced to do it. And it was just 15 minutes. Because I asked you about your, like, some, I do the same thing. I'll block out 3 hours, right? And then sometimes that overwhelms me. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm making calls for 3 hours. I'm like, why not? Why not do it in 15-minute blocks?
Yeah.
Instead.
Yep.
I had to rethink, like, I had to rethink my mindset on that because I compartmentalize so much. Because from the way my head works, I have to compartmentalize because I get too distracted. There's no reason why I can't compartmentalize a 15-minute block versus a 2-hour block.
Yep. And it's the same, again, going back to the fitness analogy. Sometimes when somebody's trying to create a new habit of going to the gym, you don't have to plan to go to the gym for 2 hours, an hour. Go to the gym, and literally, that's actually one comment I made to Felix when he started his path. I said, you don't have to go for an hour. Go and get on the treadmill and do a 15-minute cardio hit, and that's all you need, and get the hell out of there. And when I said that to him, he's like, oh. And I said, actually, it's a more effective way to lose fat. If you do cardio hit, that's shorter, like it's better in where you're at right now anyways. And he's like, even better. So, you know, that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
Little baby bites. Because you could, in 15 minutes, you could make, you know, 5 to 10 calls that actually could get you somewhere of a minute or a couple minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now this gets me thinking of taking this whole fitness thing into sales. So HIIT is high intensity interval training. So it's like, if you take that concept of HIIT and you're doing high intensity, what's the other word? High intensity interval selling. Hiss.
Mm-hmm.
Do your hiss. Do 4 hisses a day.
Yes.
I just came up with that. High intensity.
Patent pending.
Copyright pending.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, definitely. It's just, but be consistent with it and know that you'll get better at it. And it might feel really uncomfortable, but pretty much everything that you start out new, or even if you have been prospecting, but you're going to try a different way because you're going to pick up Jeb's book and get some ideas on how to prospect better, right? Mm-hmm. Then you'll feel awkward at first, and that's okay. Like, just, it's not the end of the world. It's just a phone call to somebody. Hey, how are you? I wanted to call you because I thought you'd be interested in what I have going on. No.
You're very close to the framework that Jeb sets in fanatical prospecting, having your because statement ready. Now, I'd be careful with
I've read it, dude, like twice, maybe thrice. I'm not sure. I do have 2 copies of it. That's for sure.
Just be careful with the how. This is to anyone listening. Be careful with the how are yous, because if you don't know them. You want to avoid the how are you, because they're like, why the fuck do you care? Who are you? How am I? Who are you?
Yeah, true. Yeah. If it's a cold call. Yeah. For sure. If you're calling people that are in your phone. Well, now sometimes there's people in my phone that I don't know who they are. I'm like, Kathleen Jefferson. I don't know who that is.
Like Thus the need for the CRM.
Yeah, exactly.
To keep track of that. So when you and I do love HubSpot, and it's been super helpful. Anyway, I was just having an afterthought. When you moved over into mortgage, I'm guessing that first set of calls that you made were like to every realtor, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's like did you see a lot of business come from that?
Yeah, I did. I called, like I said, I started with people that I really know and like, people that I know that do good volume of business that I have respect for. And then also people that I had a relationship with, like, for example, realtors that I had done deals with, just because there was the familiarity aspect. And then I would, again, ask them who they use as a lender, what they liked about that lender, and would they be willing to give me an opportunity? And I also would, I would ask their permission to send them an email. That would be another way that I would make sure I got their email. And I usually had it anyways, but would say, okay, even if they say we use X lender and pretty much always will and probably won't send you any business, then I would still ask, would you be okay if I send you an email with some of some information about our company? And so you have my new contact information.
Yeah. And who says no?
They don't say no. They don't. They're like, great. And honestly, a lot of people that I spoke to, it was a lot easier than I thought. There was a few people that like that person that's like, I've worked with so-and-so forever. Our kids grew up together. Like, I'm pretty much never sending you business. And you know what? Then I just have to be like, cool. Well, thank you for letting me know so that I don't put you in my CRM and, you know, keep coming after you. But most people are just honored that you're going to take the time to call them. That's what I found.
Yeah, people are not making phone calls. So when you make a phone call, people are like, oh my gosh, that's happened to me a lot. Like, you're actually calling me?
Nobody calls anymore.
Nobody calls anymore. People love to have a phone call.
Yeah. Especially if you're trying to help them in some way. I mean, selling is what we do to get business. And it's also genuinely the people that I call, I want to help you. Like, I do want to help you. It is my job to do this service, and I still want to help you. Like, if I can help you, if I can't help you, then that's cool too. But there's also sometimes ways that I can help people, like all of my past history in real estate and all the coaching I did and all these great resources that I have a hold of. Like, if I can't be your lender, then how else can I help you? Can I market some of your properties for you? Can I, you know, I have these really cool websites I can create for your latest listing. I can create a Facebook ad and get you leads. Like, there's other ways to help people. So they're like, oh yeah, she's cool. And then it might lead to business. So there's a lot of things that you can do even when you get an objection. An objection tends to be like, we feel like it's a slap in the face of like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, whatever. Instead, it's just their way of saying, no, not now. And then it's a diversion. Like, you can go around it. Like I just said, oh, cool. Well, then, you know, if you ever need anything, I have these really cool websites I can make for you that have been super effective that people love to look at them just for more exposure on whatever you're selling, you know, on your property. So don't fear the objection. You got any good objection tips for us?
Well, I think my biggest tip is to plan for them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's pretty much all the same objections in every industry, but plan for them. Number one, of knowing where people are coming from. People are always going to have objections on time and money, and COVID is an objection. And so if you plan for and try to put yourself in their shoes of like, what could they be pushing back on before you get there? For one, showing what the value is going to be. People want return on investment. And often part of my objection handling is why you're going to lose money by not hiring us. So when you're in a place of like, we don't have money for it, I want to talk about how you're going to make more money because of it, not that you're spending money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So every depends on the industry you're in and what you're selling product or service wise. That's one. I had another one. It just like left my brain. What was the other? Oh, it'll come back. Planning for it. And what was the other one? That is like a key thing for me. I don't know. It'll come back. But that's my big thing is plan. Oh, one thing that's like that used to come up a lot in like training in hotel, like for the hotel world or any place with multi units. One shift that I made over time was instead of talking about the total cost, I would break it down by the total cost of property or employee, or right. I broke down the cost. So when you go, well, it's only going to be X dollars per employee. Isn't your employee worth that?
Mm-hmm.
And so when they look at it that way, right, it's just a reframe.
Yeah. Like, how much is your Starbucks that you get? It's about that much per day.
Yeah. It's just it's a reframe.
Like, yeah. Yep. Reframe is good.
So it's like bite size, right? Again, bite size of like, instead of like, it's $10 million. Well, it's really only $1,000 per employee. Not
is it $10 million to hire you?
No, not yet.
It's a little steep. Can we talk about a discount?
Oh, actually, we can. If you do sign up for any, you can sign up for any Sales Gravy University courses with the code GINA10.
Oh.
GINA10.
Nicely done. Does it have to be all capital or does it matter?
All capital, GINA10.
I might have to go actually explore that whole catalog person.
And,
I'm in the middle of too many courses right now, so I'm going to hold off. Okay.
Well, I have a different code for you.
Oh, the secret code.
I have a secret code for you. Sweet. Yeah, but that GINA10 gets you 10% off.
Yay. And honestly, I mean, I'm not been as much of a business crush person as Gina has of Jeb, but I have always been a fan of what he offers and what Sales Gravy offers. And they walk the walk too over at Sales Gravy and his staff. I forget the lady's name.
Lisa
maybe called.
I tell Lisa, I go, it's all your fault that I'm now an employee.
Well, Lisa called us. She called me numerous times because I requested information on getting Jeb to speak for US Mortgage in Atlanta because he lives near Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And they follow up religiously, like every week or so.
And you know why? Because everybody at Sales Gravy sells. Everyone's job is everyone has to sell.
And you get better at it. Do you think that you're getting better at it as you go?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Because
I'm competitive too. So it's like, I'm the new kid. So I'm like, I want to be golden child.
Well, and I'm sure that as you go along, you're going to see the benefits of what it is that you're training people for. And then you're going to see the value of what you really are presenting. It's one thing to be selling your widget that you haven't seen change people's lives. But when you really do see the changes happen, it's so much easier to sell it. Like when I was really active as a Beachbody coach back in 2012, it was easy for me to sell that because it had profoundly actually improved my health while I was, working my way back to better health with my Crohn's disease. Like, and not that the programs did that directly, but I just was so excited that it had been so instrumental in helping me that I could talk about it all the time, And so when you just get used to talking about something that you're passionate about, then it gets easier and easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Then the more I'm immersed in it, definitely you start really living that culture. So, create that culture within your own organization that's the culture you're trying to create. I probably shouldn't tell this story.
Uh-oh.
I'm happy. there's you learn the frameworks of how to do things and you live it and breathe it. And Jeb has given me very specific things to do to prepare for some courses. And he's like, he calls it, what does he call it? RFM. I think it's RFM, not RTFM, but he's like, RFM. Read the fucking book.
Read the
RFM.
The memo.
Read the book. Oh no, that's wrong. Read the book. RFB. Read the fucking book. Right. And I'm like, I said, well, I have all your books on Audible. He's like, no, read the book. You read them because then you can take note. I was like, yes, sir. Okay, got it. No, I mean, I do have all the books. I just learn better from listening. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to actually listen and read it at the same time.
Ooh, yeah. That's actually probably a good way to do it, because then
that's probably the better way to do it. That actually helps my brain, because I do love taking notes. I do learn from taking notes. I've always suffered with reading comprehension, as far as like, I just get bored. So I'm more of an auditory person. So now I'm like, oh, I can actually listen and read at the same time.
Well, everybody learns differently. There's visual learners and auditory learners and kinesthetic learners.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a kinesthetic learner. Like, I legit have been training for many, many years, and I've trained other people for many, many years, but I am not confident about my deadlifting. And so I was watching a video last night, and I'm like, I was watching this killer powerlifter woman. I'm like, I just don't have these deadlifts right. So then this morning I was at the gym, and I walked up to one of the trainers and I said, would you book time with me next week to help me with my deadlifts? Because I just am not 100% sure that I'm doing it right, and I want somebody else's eyes on me. And because I learn best when somebody can say, okay, you know, like, stick your butt out more, lean over, this and that. Like, that's how I learn best. I'm a dancer, so I'm a kinesthetic learner. I learn by doing. So I think you just have to figure out which way is your best way of learning and do it that
way. Well, the combination, honestly, for me, because I learn by doing too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to be teaching a couple sessions of someone else's course with him shadowing me, because I've been shadowing him. Now mm-hmm. he's going to shadow me, which is how I trained all my improvisers at Carolina Improv. They shadowed me they had to shadow me for two entire courses, and then I would shadow them. And that was the learning process. So I have to listen, read, write. I mean, I need all the things combined for my mm-hmm. learning to stay retained.
You got this.
I got this. I'm super excited.
So if you didn't learn everything you needed to learn in this episode about prospecting, then once again, you can go over to Sales Gravy and sign up for one of those courses with Gina's code, GINA10. And get some learning in. And I don't actually benefit in any way from that, but I just am so excited about it. It just is so cool to know a famous sales gravy trainer. She's on the gravy train.
I like that. I'm on the sales gravy train. You'll benefit. I'll give you a bigger discount.
Hey, see how that worked out?
Hey, by the way, who else do you know that needs to put their employees through some virtual sales training?
I am thinking, because I was thinking the other day about a certain set of people that I'm like, oh my God, they need some sales training. I'll have to think about it.
Oh, I got you thinking. Well, I'm going to follow up with you to for US Mortgage.
Yes, definitely. You should.
Mm-hmm. Let's make that happen.
Faux show.
Well, this has been another fantastic episode of the Women Your Mother Warned You About. But it's time for us to go prospect. So we got to go. I'm Gina Tremarco, formerly with Pivot 10 Results, now with Sales Gravy, and still Carolina Improv, because we perform every Friday night in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And to learn more about me, you can go to GinaTremarco.com or WomenYourMotherWarnedYouAbout.com. And Rachel, what about Rachel?
You can find out information about a mortgage at thesinginglender.com, or you can find out about my fitness ventures at ultrafitlifestyle.com. And follow me on Instagram at ultrafitlifestyle to check out my journey to the bikini competition.
Also follow her on TikTok. I had a friend over the other day helping me with the studio, and he's like, you know, I'm trying to understand this TikTok. And I pulled it out, and like, yours popped up immediately. I was like, oh. I'm like, don't look at her.
No. Yeah, TikTok, everything Ultra Fit Lifestyle or the Singing Lender, you can find me.
Awesome. And same with Keith. He went out for ice cream. We're waiting for him to come back. But you can find out everything about Keith Walters at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com as well. And hey, go share this, especially this episode, because if you got to make some money, you got to be prospecting. So go share our episodes. So that would mean the world to us. And we're always happy with a rating and review. You can do that. And that's this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. We got to go. Rachel, see you later.
Bye, Warners.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.